Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next in Rice against Brenner.
Thank you. Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the Court. This case is here on writ of certiorari of the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit to review a decision of that court which held that California did not have the authority to regulate through licensing Indian country liquor transactions. In so doing, the Court of Appeals reversed the judgment of the District Court, which had upheld the right of California to regulate through licensing Indian country liquor transactions. This case asked the court to resolve two well-established and entirely distinct principles. On the one hand is the principle that Indians and the Indian tribes are to be left free of state control and their affairs governed by themselves and by the United States. The other principle is that it is the states which have the authority to determine how liquor transactions within the state's borders are to take place. This case began about 6 years ago when respondent, who was a tribal Indian living on a reservation in the northern part of San Diego County in California, the Palo Reservation, requested that she be allowed to sell distilled spirits from her general store, which is located on the Palo Indian Reservation. She made the request to the California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, which has the authority under California law to require and to enforce California's liquor licensing system. The department denied respondent's request for an exemption from California's liquor licensing laws, and respondent then filed suit in the district court seeking injunctive and declaratory relief. And the basis for that suit was that as a tribal Indian seeking to sell distilled spirits from her store located in Indian country, she was exempt from California's liquor licensing laws. The department moved to dismiss the complaint or for summary judgment, and the district court agreed with the department that it had the authority to require licenses and therefore dismissed the complaint. The case was then appealed to the Court of Appeals, which, after a lengthy stay in that court, reversed the decision of the district court and held that California's liquor licensing laws, as opposed to its state substantive laws, had no impact in Indian country and need not be followed. This case thus presents the question whether a state has the authority to require tribal Indians to obtain a state license if state law requires the license be obtained before liquor transactions take place in Indian country.
May I clarify one thing, Mr. Meth, at the outset? The state of California does not base any reliance in this case on any jurisdiction it might have obtained under Public Law 280.
That's correct.
And why is that?
Public Law 280, as we read it, is a criminal jurisdictional type of statute. The request made in this case was solely for a license.
And also some forms of civil jurisdiction, right?
That's correct. Public
and
law
it's
280
your position that it wouldn't encompass liquor licensing?
The criminal and civil jurisdiction which California has under Public Law 280 may come into play somewhere further down the line if respondent is required to obtain a license and then does an act which is both punishable under the licensing system and the criminal system. If it's punishable under the criminal system, Public Law 280 would give California the authority to punish that act criminally. But as far as the disciplinary action which California, through the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, would take against respondent under the licensing system, that authority, we believe, is contained in Section 1161.
Well, in any event, Public Law 280 is applicable in the state of California.
That's correct. California is a Public Law 280 state.
And it's not just limited to criminal jurisdiction, is it?
No. It's a civil jurisdiction, as this Court construed Public Law 280 in Bryan. It relates to criminal and civil. But civil jurisdiction was limited by the Court to causes of action, cases where a court services were required and excluded.
So it was because of the Bryan interpretation that you opted to drop any reliance on 280.
Correct.
Is that
That's
right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Before 1953, this question would not have arisen for a simple fact that Indian country was dry. Beginning in 1802, federal legislation prohibited the introduction of liquor into Indian country. In 1832, the prohibitions were made criminal. And so under federal law, as well as state law, a number of states also regulated liquor transactions with Indians. But beginning in 1832, liquor transactions with Indians, either on the reservation or off the reservation, were prohibited. The federal prohibitions are now contained in 18 U.S.C. sections 1154 and 1156. In 1953, Congress passed 18 U.S.C. section 1161, which removed the federal criminal penalties unconditionally if the transaction occurred off the reservation with respect to on-reservation or acts or transactions occurring in Indian country. The federal penalties were removed conditionally, the conditions being that the acts or transactions had to conform both with the laws of the state in which the acts or transactions occurred and an ordinance duly adopted by the tribe having jurisdiction over that area of Indian country. The department asserted in the district court, and the district court agreed, that California had the authority to require respondent to obtain a license. Before I analyze Section 1161 with respect to what it actually says, I think it's very important for the Court to consider what the statute does not say in light of the Court of Appeals decision. The Court of Appeals decision was based primarily on the concept of jurisdiction. And as I've indicated before, California is not asserting criminal or civil jurisdiction in the Public Law 280 sense under this statute.
May I ask you then, what is California's view about, assume you prevail, how will you enforce your victory?
California's liquor licensing laws are enforced administratively. A license is, in effect, a decision by the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control.
I understand, but supposing this your opponent decides the federal will just start selling liquor, what can you do about it?
The sale of liquor without a license in California is a crime.
I understand.
I would think that the local district attorney, the Ooh. California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, has no criminal enforcement
to
function.
To California territorial land, doesn't it?
It's within Pardon me?
But is the Indian reservation a part of the territorial land of California?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Well, I'm still not sure I understand the answer to my question. So, let me get two questions. One, supposing somebody sells liquor without a license on an Indian reservation. Secondly, suppose someone who may have a license on an Indian reservation violates some after-hours, sells at the wrong time of day or something like that. What can California do about either of those situations?
There are two ways that California enforces its liquor laws. The primary way is through licensing. And in that way, the department can take action against the license. And if it determines that there has been a violation of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Act, then the department can suspend for a short period of time the license, the business operation, or the department can revoke the license and put the licensee out of business. The alternative method is if the local district attorney decides that if the act is a criminal offense, and as His Honor mentioned, an after-hours sale is a criminal act, that district attorney could take...
You mean the federal attorney or the California attorney?
California attorney.
California?
That would be under Public Law 280.
Well, under Public Law 280, you would enforce even the jurisdiction that is left under the Court of Appeals holding criminally in the state courts.
That's correct. And then the third
would also be a federal crime.
That's correct.
You also enforce the laws about obscene dancing in a liquor place on an Indian reservation?
Off a reservation, those penalties or those prohibitions are contained in the department's regulations. The department is the California licensing agency. If the Court of Appeals decision is upheld, the California licensing agency wouldn't have any authority in Indian country. And so those regulations, I submit, would not be the kinds of things that if respondent violated, if respondent were operating a bar instead of a liquor store.
That's your position.
The only way that those regulations...
That you could enforce on an Indian reservation the regulation of the California Liquor Board that you can't have obscene dancing in a place that sells liquor.
That's correct. It's not a crime.
And you could enforce that.
Only administratively, Your Honor. Only by action against the licensee. Those prohibitions are contained in the department's regulations, and those regulations are not crimes. So by virtue of the limited authority that the Court of Appeals has given the department, a violation of one of those regulations would not result in a federal crime. And so there would not be any federal criminal sanctions against new dancing.
I didn't mention federal, I said state.
It's not a state crime either. They're only contained in...
dancing?
Those are contained
in... I thought a case came up here from California.
California versus LaRue in 1972.
So.
The court upheld
and
the
we
department's...
Upheld it, didn't we?
The department's regulations. It was...
Federal.
But it was a state regulatory rule. And the court was... The court
would you enforce that rule on an Indian reservation?
If the court gives the department the authority to require licensing. If the department does not have the authority to license and to take action against the license, those prohibitions could not be enforced in Indian country. And that's the basic distinction between the criminal system of enforcing the Alcoholic Beverage Control Act and the administrative system for implementing that act. All the regulations promulgated by the department, which are not crimes, could not be determined to be substantive state standards, which the Court of Appeals has said are those matters which result in federal crimes. So the entire regulatory scheme of the departments would be inapplicable. The only other case to reach this court involving Section 1161 is United States versus Masri, 1975. And I believe that that's a very important case on the matter of this jurisdiction. In that case, non-Indians were convicted of the federal offense of violating Section 1154 because they had not obtained tribal licenses. The tribal ordinance required that anyone selling liquor in an Indian reservation, on that Indian reservation, had to obtain a tribal license. The Masrys obtained state licenses, and so they were in conformity with the state law, but they had not obtained tribal licenses. And by virtue of that act, not obtaining a tribal license, they were convicted in federal court of violating Section 1154. All California is asking is to have the same power. The tribes in that situation in Masry did not have criminal jurisdiction over the non-Indians. This court's decision in Oliphant made that clear. But jurisdiction wasn't an issue, and it shouldn't be an issue. The only authority, the only governmental entity which we know has jurisdiction over Indian country liquor transactions, and in fact all acts committed on an Indian reservation, is the United States. The United States had jurisdiction over the non-Indians in the Masry case. The United States has jurisdiction over respondent because she's an Indian. In this case, the United States has the jurisdiction. In this case, all we're saying, all California is saying, is that it has the authority to set the conditions under which lawful Indian country liquor transactions are to take place. And if state law requires a license, just like if tribal ordinance requires a license, then the person desiring to engage in liquor traffic in Indian country has to obtain a license. And that's all this case is about. I suggest the proper way to analyze this case is the way this court did in a number of cases cited in both the briefs, California versus United States, EPA versus State Water Resources Board, and Hancock versus Train. In all three of those cases, the court was faced with a situation where a state was requiring a federal agency to obtain a license. In each of those cases, the court looked at the statute, looked at the entire statutory scheme, looked at the legislative history, and looked at anything else that the court thought was relevant to the situation. But the court did not base its decision on the fact that a state does not have jurisdiction over the Secretary of Interior. Only if Congress has given the state the power to require the Secretary of Interior to obtain a license can a state make the Secretary of Interior obtain a license. And that's all we're asking for in this case, is for the court to look at the statute, look at the legislative history, look at the various relationships, and determine whether California has the power to require a license. And I don't believe it would be fruitful at all for the court to go into the matter of jurisdiction. The Court of Appeals seemed to assume that a California license was nothing more than a piece of paper which simply allows someone to do an act. California's liquor licensing scheme is much more than that. And I don't believe that the court's decision that only states substantive standards as opposed to its licensing scheme is a valid one. California, both in its constitution and in its statutes, has declared that a licensing system is necessary for the protection of the health, welfare, safety, peace, and morals of its people, and the system is designed to eliminate what it views as the evils of unlicensed liquor traffic within the state.
Non-Indians purchase liquor at these establishments?
Yes, they can, Your Honor. The statute is not limited with respect to the identity of the seller or the identity of the buyer. So anyone can sell under the statute in Indian country, and anyone can buy under the statute, assuming that the sale is in conformity with tribal and state laws. California has also declared that its licensing system involves, in the highest degree, and I'm reading from the words of the statute, in the highest degree, the economic, social, and moral well-being and safety of the state and all its people. In light of what California believes, I wonder how the Court of Appeals can say that a licensing system is something that can be ignored. It's an important aspect of California's regulatory system of liquor traffic, and I think it's quite important for the state to be able to impose its licensing system.
Mr. Meth, wasn't the principal reason that the Court of Appeals found against you its conclusion that 1161 wasn't an express grant of legislative jurisdiction to the states to regulate liquor sales on reservation.
That's eventually what the court said.
So that any observations it might have had or might have had in the back of its mind about the importance of a California liquor license, I would think were probably secondary to that conclusion, don't you?
The court analyzed, I'm not sure how the court analyzed the statute, and I'd like to make an observation. The court analyzed the words of the statute in the beginning of the opinion. In none of the briefs cited by, or none of the briefs submitted by Respondent or the United States or any of the MISI have that interpretation of the statute, the words of the statute, been adopted. And I suggest that that is so because the Court of Appeals reading of the statute was not understandable. I've read that opinion many times. I don't understand how the court can arrive at the conclusions it did based upon the wording of the statute. And the court then drew a distinction between licensing and substantive state standards. But the court nowhere defined the phrase substantive state standards. And what we're saying is that there are many substantive state standards, basic policies, as Respondent put it in her brief. There are many basic policies which are contained in the licensing system and are not simply criminal statutes. And for those reasons, we believe that the entire state regulatory system, and not simply what are called state substantive standards without definition, are to be followed in Indian country. And if I can give some examples, perhaps the most important policy with respect to retail sales of liquor in California is the proposition that there should not be a liquor store or a bar on every corner. California tries to limit the number of people who are engaged in the sale of distilled spirits, and California does that in a number of ways. It limits the number of licensees, the number of people who may be engaged in the liquor traffic, and that's based on population. Another way is for the department. The department is given the authority to determine if a particular location is the proper location for a retail liquor establishment. And the court is, and the department is specifically given the authority.
Did you think that the department would know what was going on in the Indian reservation?
I don't see why not, Your Honor.
Well, where is the department? What city is it in?
The department maintains offices throughout California.
Do they have one on the Indian reservation? Of course they do not.
That's correct.
So how would they know?
The department has investigators, and the department's investigators...
Indians?
No, they're not.
Indian investigators?
There's nothing in the statutes which would prohibit an Indian from being an investigator. I don't know the identity. I don't know if any of the employees are Indians.
They don't, don't you?
Pardon me?
Don't you know that they don't have any?
I don't know that, Your Honor. There would be nothing in the statutes which would prohibit the department from hiring Indians.
And if you excluded them, you might be in trouble with somebody else.
That's certainly correct, Your Honor. We have other agencies of the state which would prohibit that sort of activity. And California, as an employer, has traditionally been one which has hired all kinds of people.
For example, do you have a rule in California that says you can't have one near a church?
That's correct.
How many churches do you have on the reservation?
Your Honor, there's 75 to 80. There's 75 to 80 reservations in the state of California. I don't know where the location of the churches are.
That's my point.
An investigator can drive out to a reservation and determine if the proposed license is to be in the proper place.
And decide what's best for the Indians.
For the people of the state of California, not just the Indians.
You indicated earlier these stores would sell to non-Indians, I assume.
That's correct.
And there are some checkerboard reservations, aren't there?
That's correct. The Agua Caliente being a prime example.
Well, they're getting their liquor from the same Oklahoma place that the California wholesalers wanted to get it from in that Oklahoma connection case, aren't they?
I don't know where the Agua Calientes are getting their
literature. California has amended its laws, I take it, to make it possible for wholesalers to sell to unlicensed establishments on the reservation.
That's correct. So that would eliminate one of the enforcement methods that California has for preventing the unlawful sales by non-licensees.
But California has kept on the books, at least, its requirements that these establishments be licensed, so you assert it's not moot.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Does California regulate the price of liquor sold in its liquor stores?
No, it doesn't, Your Honor.
It does regulate the hours during which they may be sold, I suppose.
That's correct. Sales can't be between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Yes.
And to just follow that up for a moment, it doesn't seem to me that it makes much sense to draw a distinction between the hours of operation, which the respondent and the United States seem to say are ones which California may regulate, and the location of a liquor store or a bar. What we're talking about is access to liquor.
Well, do you think they concede that you can regulate it, or do they just concede that the store owner must abide by California law?
No, they're saying that it's a federal offense.
That's right, but they don't say that California can do anything about it. They don't.
Not in the licensing scheme. That's correct.
Well, or any other way.
Well, the
they don't concede that.
They're conceding that under 1161,
it would be a federal crime.
A federal crime.
They don't concede that California could do anything at all about.
No, that's the extent.
If the store owner was selling to minors.
That's correct. However, California could enforce those laws under Public Law 280, but as I said before, Public Law 280 is not involved in this case, and California's authority under Public Law 280 is not involved in this case, only its licensing scheme. If I may reserve the remainder of my time.
May I ask you one other question before you sit down?
Certainly.
Am I correct in my impression the 21st Amendment aspect of the case was not argued below?
It was not argued by California in the district court. When respondent filed her opening brief in the Court of Appeals, she raised the 21st Amendment. We did not, California did not respond to the 21st Amendment argument. However, when the case was consolidated with Washington's case, the Washington Attorney General advocated the 21st Amendment issue, and then the Court of Appeals did dispose of the 21st Amendment issue.
Thank you, Justice Berger. May it please the Court. The state has taken inconsistent positions in this case, as Mr. Meth has indicated, first asserting clear jurisdiction under this statute and then moving to a position where we are at today. The state is saying that this federal criminal statute incorporates an entire state licensing scheme as a condition for immunizing persons who engage in liquor transactions on Indian reservations from federal criminal prosecutions. I would like to go directly to the words of that statute and the language that we're dealing with today, the inconformity with state laws language.
Mr. Kusenberg, do you basically agree with the Court of Appeals' construction of the relevant part of that statute?
Yes, we do, Justice Rehnquist. The inconformity with language modifies the statement that acts or transactions within Indian country shall be in conformity with state law and with a tribal ordinance. That inconformity with language is a convenient technique that Congress has used in other contexts involving federal penal statutes, the Assimilated Crimes Act and the Major Crimes Act, to utilize state law as a standard for determining whether that conduct may or may not violate federal law. This court, in cases under other federal statutes, the Federal Water Pollution Control Act and the Federal Clean Air Act, where Congress has used language shall conform with state law, has said that that means that state standards, state law, would serve as standards for regulating federal facilities, but by no measure would require those facilities to obtain a state license. When Congress passed this statute, its overriding concern was to eliminate discrimination against Indians in the sale of alcoholic beverages. So it's reasonable to look at this statute and the act or transactions language and imply or assume that Congress was concerned about the sale or use of alcohol within Indian country and by no means was concerned with matters such as licensing and taxation of liquor within Indian country.
Mr. Quisenberry, what is the effect, in your view, of the inconformity language insofar as it talks about inconformity with the laws of the state in which such act or transaction occurs?
Our position is that that language deals with, that language applies state law to the sale or use of alcohol. That is, sales to minors, sales to habitual drunkards, sale during hours.
Well, how is that state law to be enforced?
That state law is to be enforced through the United States attorney or through some type of action brought by the tribe. The tribe would have civil enforcement authority under its own ordinance if there was a violation. But essentially, the violation of state standards would be enforced by the United States attorney. As to a situation where a non-Indian was selling in violation of a state standard, for example, selling to minors, the state has criminal jurisdiction over non-Indians under McBratney and Draper, very early decisions by this court. The state seems to imply in its reply brief that it doesn't have that type of jurisdiction.
But only criminal jurisdiction. You'd have to go through the processes of trying to get criminal prosecutions. As opposed to some kind of suspension of the license or other disciplinary action as an administrative matter, in your view, and under the view of the CA-9.
There's an additional mechanism here, and that is the federal Indian traders laws. Any non-Indian doing business on the reservation would be required to comply with those laws, and they would be licensed.
Well, provided the state authorities could convince the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs to take some kind of action.
In that particular situation, yes.
Be quite a difficult task. Let me ask you, this statute, 1161, arose really out of a situation that existed in the state of Arizona, did it not?
Yes, it was initially designed just to apply to a single
right.
state.
Right, and later in the process of the congressional hearings, it was expanded to encompass other states as well and to remove the disabilities that the federal law had imposed on the use of and possession of alcohol on reservations.
That's correct.
And during the course of the legislative history, there was some indication, at least, by I think then Representative John Rhodes and maybe others, that it was their understanding that state laws would then apply in the liquor area, right?
Yes, the idea of state laws applying.
Okay. And the thing that concerns me a little bit about the history, which is far from clear, of course, is that at least in Arizona, where all of this emerged, many of the reservations are right there in urban areas, in Scottsdale, in the heart of Scottsdale, all along the Colorado River, where there are now, you know, casinos developing and quite a population area. Do you think that Congress may have been concerned about applying the full state administrative mechanism in those areas?
I can't really respond to that because Congress was very unclear in articulating its overall intent. It didn't tell us a great deal about its intent. So we have the language of the statute. We also have the strong federal policies that have protected Indian reservations, particularly tribal members, from incursions of state jurisdiction.
Well, if you say if you concede what you do, that the Indian trader selling liquor would have to comply with the state laws except for licensing, hours and that sort of thing. Why couldn't the state, although it wouldn't have any, under your theory, wouldn't have any licensing leverage, why couldn't it go to a state court and enjoin the a persistent course of conduct in violation of state law? And not just rely on the United States attorney who will probably tell him to go peddle his papers.
If the state, if there is a violation of the state criminal law, particularly
well,
by
there's
a non-Indian.
There's a statute that says you cannot, nobody can sell to minors.
That's okay, a state criminal statute, nobody can sell to minors.
Whether it says criminal or not, it's a state law. Now why shouldn't the state be able to enjoin the persistent violation of that law?
Are we referring here to a non-Indian person or an Indian person?
I'm referring to anybody. The state comes in and alleges in court that this Indian trader, this trader, is consistently selling to minors. And Indians, non-Indians, and he openly announces that he's not obeying the state law about minors. Why shouldn't the state be able to enjoin him?
Oh, I think clearly as far as a non-Indian violating, they would have jurisdiction.
What
as
do you far, mean a non-Indian? What about an Indian?
As far as an Indian, I think that there's a question there.
Why?
Because 1161 was initially part of the body of legislation, which was Public Law 280.
Well, you concede, though, that whether the seller is an Indian or a non-Indian, that he must abide by state law except for licensing.
Right. He must abide by state standards governing the
exactly.
sale.
Exactly. And let's assume that it's true. He has announced that he is not going to abide by the state law with respect to to hours or sales to minors. And he just doesn't live up to the state law. Why shouldn't the state be able to enjoin him, whether he's an Indian or not?
I can't answer why or why not. I can't answer that. It's my opinion that based on the legislative history of 1161 and Public Law 280, that Public Law 280 was focused on a grant of criminal jurisdiction to the states. Mm-hmm. 1161 was part of Public Law 280. It was pulled out of Public Law 280 because of the concern by Indian people that the acceptance of criminal jurisdiction, the repeal of liquor was tied to the acceptance of criminal jurisdiction. I would say that if the violation was directly related to a transaction in liquor, that the exclusive enforcement procedure against an Indian person that was violating would be by federal statute or by tribal action against that person.
Didn't we say that you could enforce a state liquor law on an Army base? We said.
Yes, you did, Your Honor. You said that under the 21st
why
Amendment.
Why didn't you bring it up a minute ago?
Well, the cases that this court has decided has said that you cannot allow a state to regulate military reservations. We don't see any of those cases. We don't see the Kate distinguishing.
You don't see where a state gets a right to regulate the liquor drinking on a reservation by Indians.
We're not conceding that. In fact, that's specifically what I'm saying, Your Honor, that we do not concede that type of regulation, that the state's remedy in the event that one of these standards is violated in the sale or use of liquor, that they must go to the United States.
But you do concede, if I understand you correctly, that the Indians must obey those state standards that you agree are applicable
yes,
within the reservation.
We definitely
that there are some state standards, and you're not concerned in this case about how they enforce them. You're just saying the only state standard you don't have to obey is the licensing requirement.
That's correct.
But what about state standards that are merely implementations of a licensing requirement, such as those things that they say if you do A, B, and C, then your license may be revoked, but there's no criminal state sanction? Are they binding or not under your view?
They would not be binding. Under our view, what we're saying, and let me clarify it, is that the determinations leading up to the actual sale of liquor, the unique determinations of licensing and the qualifications of the licensee, the determination of whether these premises are fit for liquor to be sold, are within the prerogative of the tribal governmental authority under Section 1161.
And that would include, for example, method of operation, for example, the problem Justice Marshall brought up about the obscene dancing, which is in one of their administrative regulations but is not a criminal offense, you'd say that regulation does not apply within
the
reservation.
If it was part of their administrative regulations and tied to licensing,
it is.
We would say that it is not applicable.
Right.
If it was a state criminal offense.
So that your real position is there's no licensing requirement and no requirement that merely relates to licensing is enforceable within the state.
That's our position.
The selling liquor shall sell to minors. That wouldn't be applicable to the Indian.
No, that would be applicable. Why? That is governing.
Why?
That's governing,
tied to a licensee.
That's governing the sale or use of liquor, Your Honor. We're focusing on the sale or use of liquor. I think you can reasonably distinguish between the determinations about the qualifications of the seller and where the liquor is sold, and the actual sale or use of liquor. And that Congress...
How about a regulation that liquor may be sold only between the hours of 12 and 6, if that's a state regulation?
That liquor can only be sold during the hours of 12 and 6?
It may not be sold on Sunday, for example.
Okay, then that's the Indian on the reservation is going to have to abide by that. That's going to be a standard that's going to be enforced.
No food may be sold where liquor is sold.
That's also, if that's a state standard, that's one that would be applicable.
But what if those that Justice Brennan gave you were not in any state statute, but were merely in regulations promulgated by the liquor authority saying that every licensee must do the following or his license will be revoked? Then, under your view, they would not be enforceable, as I understand you.
I think in that situation, you'd have to just ask if that's a determination that is leading up to the ultimate grant of the license.
Well, assume it is. That the only source of state law is that if you don't follow these rules, your license will be revoked. That's our hypothesis.
I agree with you. I think that if you say that it's part of their regulatory structure, I would say that Congress, in enacting this federal penal statute, did not intend to incorporate this whole state civil regulatory scheme.
Well, does your distinction turn on the difference between a regulation and a statute?
In this particular situation...
Well, what particular situation?
Well, in the situation presented by Justice Stevens, that it would turn on that because the state standard in that particular hypothetical was tied to the administrative regulation, to its civil regulatory structure, rather than imposed in a specific statute imposing a criminal penalty.
Do you agree that the Indian reservations are subject to the licensing provisions of California? Do you agree to that?
No, I do not.
Well, it sounded like you did a minute ago.
Oh, well, I certainly did not mean to indicate that at all. That's what this case is about. That's what this case is about. We contend that the statute by no means is a grant of any type of licensing authority, nor does it impose the state licensing requirements by way of this inconformity with language. In our briefs, we go into discussion of the previous decisions by this case, including the Moe decision, which dealt with the state licensing, a cigarette vendor's license. Now, that particular case did not have a specific federal statute such as we have in this particular instance. But we don't see any clear indication in the legislative history or in the language of the statute that Congress intended to impose a state civil regulatory scheme as a condition.
But they certainly did decide in 1161 to treat liquor transactions differently than cigarette transactions and that sort of thing, which really aren't covered by a specific statute.
That's correct, and that was against the backdrop of total federal preemption of the area of liquor trade. And this court in Masary held that there was a valid delegation of congressional authority to tribes, which as a group exercised some inherent independent authority over both the territory, the members, and the subject matter.
But Masary was basically an argument between a private individual and the federal government prosecuting as on the basis of an Indian regulation, an argument of unlawful delegation, that sort of thing. The state of Wyoming wasn't involved in Masary at all.
No, I think they may have participated as an amicus, but there was no real conflict between the state and the tribe because there was a state license and that was required by virtue of tribal ordinance, in fact, in that case. I'd point out that in that case, Indian tribal members were subject only to a tribal licensing requirement. Essentially, what the state, we see the state's position is trying to come in the back door from Public Law 280, essentially trying to obtain civil regulatory control in this area that has been denied.
May I ask one other question about they're trying to gain control? This statute was passed 30 years ago. Why do you suppose it took so long for this issue to get here? I know there was an Interior Department opinion in 1971 that indicated that you were correct. Before that, had anybody tried to get these licenses before that 1971? Or had the what took? I don't understand why it takes 30 years for this issue to arise.
I think that part of the answer to that is that Indian reservations are beginning to experience economic development. They have been suppressed for a long time. Tribal governments are developing. They're regulating more, and we have a situation where non-Indian communities and Indian communities are maybe closer together. We have tribal authority being exerted to a greater extent than it was before.
Is it correct that prior to 1971 that there was no attempt to get any liquor license within an Indian reservation?
I can't really answer that. I don't have the facts to answer that question.
Mr. Quisenberry, why couldn't the state of California simply make selling liquor without a license a crime and punish him for a crime?
Again, that's a civil regulatory type act.
No, they make it a criminal offense.
They could absolutely prohibit the sale of liquor. They could maintain a dry state, and that would be if a Indian on a reservation chose to sell liquor in violation of that, they could be subject to prosecution under federal law. But that would be a state standard. The position that I took before on that was as to criminal violations directed at the sale.
In Justice O'Connor's example, there's a state criminal statute. Which, let's assume that nobody may sell liquor in the state of California. Now, could an Indian be prosecuted under state law for selling liquor?
Our contention would be that they could not. That Public Law 280, that 1161 was pulled outside of Public Law 280 and was treated differently. That liquor has been treated differently historically by Congress, and that the remedy is through the federal enforcement scheme. Thank you. I think my comments are completed.
Mr. Schwartz,
before you commence, I wish you'd try to clarify for me exactly what the federal government thinks that the state may regulate. I'm thinking primarily about matters such as Sunday operation, hours of operation, sales to minor, location of stores. May the state regulate all of those under the government's position?
Mr. Justice Powell, I think it may, but perhaps we'd better be crystal clear about our terms here. I'm not sure what you mean by regulate.
Well, determine whether they may operate on Sunday or not, or the state, when they must close, etc.
State laws on that subject do determine the terms, in our view, as to
but
which.
But only the federal government can enforce them?
Well, as we understand it, we would suggest that certain state laws which do not have any licensing-related terms that say in the absolute no person may sell alcohol to a minor or give alcohol to a minor or at certain hours are pure criminal statutes and are not the kind of essentially a subterfuge.
But the state could revoke the license
and the state,
if these regulations were violated.
The state, our view is that the state lacks licensing authority, so that a pure criminal violation would, in California, because it is a Public Law 280 state, could actually be prosecuted by the state.
Under state law?
Under
state
law.
So you disagree
law.
With your colleague on that?
I may, to some extent, what the
well,
state...
Well, to some extent, he said that the state could not prosecute him.
It is the government's view...
You say that he may be prosecuted. That's not just to some extent.
If I may, Mr. Justice White...
You may.
Section 1161 and Public Law 280 were passed on the same day by Congress. They do have a common background, and it is necessary to sort out a sensible in pari materia construction of the two. We would submit that a state may not, given that background, pass a statute, as California, in fact, has, that says it's a misdemeanor to sell liquor without one of our licenses, because that would totally frustrate the sense of Section 1161, even though that is, on its face, a criminal violation. I take it that was what fueled Justice O'Connor's question. On the other hand, it is our sense that some criminal violations, which are written in the absolute and they're not tied to the requirement of a license, may fairly be regarded as distinct and true criminal prescriptions, and that those may be enforced by the state. And if that is in conflict with the private counsel's answer, so be it, Justice White.
Counsel, the statute says, quote, "No one, Indian or otherwise, in the state of California may sell liquor to a minor." Can that be enforced?
I would think that it could.
By the state? Yes. They could send in an officer and arrest
pursuant to Public Law 280, Justice Marshall, because California is a Public Law 280 state and does have some jurisdiction which permeates the reservation. That's not resting on the statute, which is the focus of this
but
case.
But that statute could be enforced.
That would be our understanding.
How far would you go? Well, where are you going to draw the line now?
Well, one line that we would clearly draw is that no prescription which is tied by the state in its own scheme to possession of a license may be enforced in that manner, because that must be regarded as part of the regulatory scheme.
Well, there's also a regulation by the State Liquor Board which says that nobody operating a licensee place shall sell to a minor. Would that make the criminal statute invalid?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
I do. You say the difference between whether it's criminal or it's a regulation. I'm giving you one that you've got both.
Mr. Justice
Marshall.
Are they
both good or is one good?
Let me try this and see if this will answer your question. Our view is not that the distinction depends on whether something is embodied in a regulation or a state statute. Let's be clear about that. We suppose that for purposes of Section 1161, if the state of California delegates to an administrative agency the authority to enact a regulation prescribing terms of conduct in general terms, not depending on whether or not you hold one of their licenses or not, that is part of the state law. And if that state law is criminal, then California being a Public Law 280 state, it may be enforced. But whether or not the state is a Public Law 280 state, because it is part of the terms of state law which must be conformed to, the federal sanction does apply. Now, if I haven't helped you,
no.
Come back at me.
Well, I just don't understand how you say that you can do one by merely putting the word criminal on it. And unless you put criminal on it, it doesn't work.
The answer is in part that Public Law 280, which stands outside this case, says that the state shall have certain criminal jurisdiction. Now, the state... As California has a system whereby certain acts are prescribed only through the licensing scheme, but it's not the government's, should the state wish to prescribe those acts in general terms, those would be incorporated within the Section 1161 structure.
Does that mean then you do take a different view? Say they have a regulation that says no obscene dancing in a liquor establishment, and anyone who violates this regulation can have his license revoked. But there's no criminal prohibition against it. Is that enforceable or is it not in Indian reservation?
I think we would say not, because the sanction is license revocation. But the same regulation could be written a different way to accomplish the same effect.
And you find that in the text of 1161, that distinction?
No, Justice Stevens, in an indirect sense, we do. What our contention is that Section 1161 does not authorize the state to regulate through licensure. That means it can't do any of these things indirectly through licensure. If it wishes to enact laws.
Well, but would you say that a person who runs a liquor establishment in which there is the kind of dancing I described that violates a state regulation, is that liquor being sold in conformity with state law within the meaning of 1161? You say it is. Even though it violates a plain rule of California law.
The answer is whether that plain rule is a rule that says our licensees may not permit such conduct or whether, on the other hand,
the question is whether the person within the meaning of 1161 has been acting in conformity with state law. That's what the statute says.
In conformity with state law, we understand to mean...
In conformity with some state laws.
But, if you will, Justice Stevens, but the point is that licensing is a very different kind of authority to exercise, and that the state can accomplish the same objective through enacting general purpose standards. What is offensive, if I may, about the licensing regulatory authority that the state claims is its discretionary element, as well as the fact that a tax is being imposed, the substantial fee is exacted before for the privilege of doing business on the reservation. But let's
the Court of Appeals didn't really base its holding on the theory that it was a tax, which the government had argued, did it?
I think it's fair to say the Court of Appeals didn't base its holding on that. It didn't reject it. It simply did not rely on that. But what we would lay emphasis on, Justice O'Connor, is the discretionary element. It's important to understand that in operating a licensing scheme, the state does not avow the full range of discretionary powers that exist under a licensing scheme. It's useful to actually look at the California statutes and see what may happen. For instance, when one applies for an Alcoholic Beverage Control Department license, the duty of the department is to determine whether the licensee is qualified. Among the things that must be taken into consideration are the results of an investigation. The department is enjoined to investigate all matters affecting the public welfare or morals. And it has been held under California law that a license may be denied on the basis of a determination respecting these considerations. The statute also incorporates other relatively vague criteria.
But suppose those criteria were made specific, such as you can't get a license if you're convicted of a felony. Then another state, not California, has a law that you can't sell liquor if you've been convicted of a felony. That law could be enforced in the other state, but not California, as I understand it.
Yes, Justice Stevens, and I draw an analogy here to the Court's decision in the Grindle's Den case. If a state chooses to make its criteria unconditional, then those criteria come outside the realm of discretionary administration, and then they are part of the laws of the state for purposes of Section 1161. If the state makes the choice to insist on retaining discretion to sort these factors out for itself, then the consequence under Section 1161 is that that's not part of the law of the state.
Do you find any support for this in either the language of the statute or the legislative history?
Justice
Stevens, rather subtle distinction?
If I may, a one-sentence answer. The key thing in our view is that there's no support for the rather remarkably intrusive authority that the state does claim. The more modest authority that we would accord the state is consistent with the traditional
pattern.
It's
equally intrusive as to its own citizens. It treats them exactly like it treats the people who live in California off of it.
Yes, but I think it's common ground here that those who live on Indian reservations may not, in general, be treated the same way, absent federal authority, and that's why we draw that distinction.
Well, I suppose you could have argued just simply that the federal laws on Indian traders preempted in this area, but not make the further distinction that you appear to be trying to make.
Well, we think that would — an argument that the state has no authority whatsoever because of the federal Indian trader statutes would be difficult to reconcile with the fact that Congress does appear to have recognized some role for the states in Section 1161. This distinction, perhaps not totally satisfactory and certainly not pollucively clear, is the best way we can find to draw some line in an area where it appears that some line must be drawn. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm confused somewhat by these arguments. Does California have the same control, in your view, in terms of issuing licenses as over Indians and Indian reservations as over all the other people within the outer perimeter borders of California?
Yes, that's California's position, Your Honor, based on the wording of the statute and the legislative
history. In other words, Indians are no different from any other person.
That's correct. I think it's reasonably clear from Section 1161 that a state has the what Mr. Schwartz called the remarkably intrusive authority of telling an Indian reservation that it cannot sell liquor at all. And the way that a state has that authority is by making the entire state dry. In 1953, there were two states that were actually dry, Mississippi and Oklahoma. The court on a number of occasions has said that if a governmental entity has greater power, it also has all the lesser powers included within that greater power. Two early 21st Amendment cases, Ziffern Inc. versus Reeves and State Board of Equalization versus Young's Market, cited in our briefs, indicate that a state has the authority under the 21st Amendment to totally prohibit the introduction of liquor within the state. And if a state has that authority, it has the authority to strictly control how liquor is to be distributed within the state. Another case, a recent Indian case, Marion versus Jicarilla, Apache tribe, and I hope I pronounced it correctly. The court was dealt with the question of whether a tribe could exclude non-members. And the court said that the power to exclude non-members from the reservation included the power to condition entry onto reservation land, to condition the continued presence on Indian land, and also condition reservation conduct. If a state has the greater power to totally prohibit liquor within Indian country, I don't understand why the distinction has to be drawn that some laws, lesser laws, should be followed, but other lesser laws should not be followed. If a state under Section 1161 has the greater power, it should also have the lesser power. In summary, California is only asserting that it has concurrent authority with the tribes and with the United States to control liquor traffic in Indian country. We're not asserting that because of California's licensing laws, those laws are exclusive. 1161 gives the United States the authority to criminally prosecute. 1161 also gives certain responsibilities to the state, to the tribes. And if the powers to the tribe include the power to license, all California is saying that statute with the words both and the words in conformity with and the words laws of the state includes the same powers to the state.
Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted.